Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the How to Stay and Survive the Coronavirus Plague Briefing, live podcast recording, episode number 108. My name is Daniel White III, President of Gospel Light Society International. And the first word I want to say to people who claim to be people of God is the first word Jesus said when he arrived on the scene for ministry: repent. Repent. It's time to repent. It's time to take advantage of your space to repent. To help you do that, we're reading Revelation chapter 2, verses 1 through 7. These are the words of Jesus Christ. Unto the church, unto the angel of the church of Ephesus write, these things saith he that holdeth the seven stars in his right hand, who walketh in the midst of the seven golden candlesticks. I know thy works, and thy labor, and thy patience, and how thou canst not bear them which are evil, and thou hast tried them which say they are apostles, and are not, and hast found them liars, and hast borne, and hast patience, and for my name's sake hast labored, and hast not fainted. Nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee, because thou hast left thy first love. Remember, therefore, from whence thou art fallen. This is where we're going to pick up today in the commentary section. Remember, 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 therefore, from whence thou art fallen, and repent, and do the first works, or else I will come unto thee quickly, and will remove thy candlestick out of his place, except thou repent. But this thou hast, that thou hatest the deeds of the Nicolaitans, which I also hate. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. To him that overcometh will I give to eat of the tree of life, which is in the midst of the paradise of God. Ladies and gentlemen, the Bible knowledge commentary says, bring that back forward right here. Look at me. Bring that back forward. You always got to bring that as close as possible. The Ephesians were first reminded when Jesus began to rebuke them to remember the height from whence, or the height from which you have fallen. They were told to repent and to return to the love they had left, the first love, that wonderful love we have for Jesus when we first get saved. Similar exhortations concerning the need for a deep love for God are frequently found in the New Testament. Christ stated that one's love for God should be greater than his love for his closest relatives, including his father, mother, son, and daughter, wife, and husband as well. Paul added that love for God should even be above one's love for his or her spouse, his mate, her mate. In calling the Ephesian believers to repentance, Christ was asking them to change their attitude their heart as well as their affections. They were to continue their service, not simply because it was right to do, but because they loved Jesus again. He warned them that if they did not respond in this way, the light of their witness in Ephesus would be extinguished. Their candlestick will be removed, and that's what's happening right now with many local churches. God is removing their candlestick because not only were the churches not doing what they used to do out of love for Christ, many churches were not doing what they were supposed to do, whether they loved Christ or not. Too many churches were playing instead of praying, and everybody knows that this is common knowledge in the church. This is common knowledge in the community. This is common knowledge in the society in which we live. To many people, even in the government, pastors who you act like you're so enamored with government leaders, they laugh at you behind your back. People in the, once they get your vote, they laugh at you and they see you as a joke because of the hypocrisy in your own life and in the church. I will remove your lampstand from its place. The church continued and was later the scene of a major church council. But after the 5th century, both the church and the city declined. The immediate area has been uninhabited since the 14th century. One additional word of commendation was inserted. They were commended because they hated the practices of the Nicolaitans. There has been much speculation concerning the identity of the Nicolaitans. And just as a side, it's probably not because of Saint Nick, so it's something else. But the scriptures do not specify who they were. They apparently were a sect wrong in practice and in doctrine. As in the other letters, Christ gave the Ephesian church a promise addressed to individuals who will hear. He stated to him who overcomes, I will give the right to eat from the tree of life, which is in the paradise of God. The tree of life, first mentioned in Genesis chapter 3, verse 22, was in the Garden of Eden. Later, it reappears in the New Jerusalem, where it bears abundant fruit. Those who eat of it will never die. This promise should not be construed as reward for only a special group of Christians, but a normal expectation for all Christians. The paradise of God is probably a name for heaven. Apparently, it will be identified with the New Jerusalem in the eternal state. This encouragement to true love for Christ reminded them again of God's gracious provision for salvation in time and eternity. Love for God is not wrought by legalistically observing commands, but by responding to one's knowledge and appreciation of God's love for us. Ladies and gentlemen, the prophet Leonard Ravenhill said, the man who can get believers to pray would, under God, usher in the greatest revival that the world has ever known. Now for our briefing news segment. Everybody pay attention because I have to move quickly. According to Reuters, U.S. deaths from the coronavirus plague pandemic exceeded according to their official count from Johns Hopkins, which we all know it is a lie, is more like over 300,000 already. But they're saying it has exceeded 160,000, which is still very, very bad. And you need to take this very seriously. This happened on today, they're saying. Nearly a quarter of the world's total, as the country debates whether schools are ready to reopen their doors in the coming weeks. Coronavirus deaths are rising in 23 states and cases in 20 states. The grim milestone marks an increase of 10,000 deaths in 9 days in the United States. My dear friends, you better take this seriously. Stop not believing this is happening. It is happening. You need to accept it, and you need to act accordingly. According to Reuters News, University of Washington health experts forecast that nearly over 300,000 Americans could be dead from the coronavirus plague disease by December the 1st. Take this seriously. People of God, confess your sins and repent. And get out of sin. Stop quarantining with your boo, as you call it. According to Barron's News, the United States has recorded more than 2,000 coronavirus deaths in 24 hours. That's since yesterday. The highest number of daily fatalities in 3 months. That's what's happening in America. Over 2,000 people dead in one day. According to the Daily Mail, Ohio Governor Mike DeWine said in a press briefing that 91 people caught the coronavirus after one infected man went to an undisclosed church, causing the virus to spread like wildfire. I say again to all of my preacher friends and all of my Christian friends, the church is essential, has always been essential, will always be essential. But the building is not. You don't have to go to the building, my dear friends. You can pray at home, you can read the Bible at home, you can listen to your pastor in real time at home. You can listen to the choir sing, not the choir sing, but a few people who, the praise team sing, maybe, at home. And they don't even need to be there. I would go. Because, see, we are a unique people. We are a peculiar people. And the world knows it. And governors know it. Politicians know it. We are a peculiar people. We have a certain level of faith about things. We have no fear about things. Naturally. Supernaturally. And have been that way for many, many years, of course. But we are peculiar in that we'll go to the church and know we ought not to hug. And say we're going to have faith to hug anyway. And not realizing that this plague is against the church. See, there are church pastors and church people who don't want to because of the prosperity gospel foolishness that has gone on for 40 or 50 years and other false doctrines, don't want to accept the fact that this is chastisement against the church. So that's why a whole lot of church folk are being infected and are dying. We just prayed for 10 today. Okay, so you need to understand that. God is not playing. God is not pleased with what has been taking place in his name. And he, in chastisement, God will take you out. And he has done so. And he is doing so. According to NBC News, one person dies every 80 seconds from the coronavirus in America on average. people take this seriously. According to the AP, Ohio Governor Mike DeWine, who I think has been a pretty good governor through all of this, announced Thursday he has tested positive for the coronavirus. Then coming to find out in the evening time, he said that he had tested negative for the coronavirus. So hopefully we'll find out what's going on there. Stay tuned. According to the Daily Mail, Dr. Fauci said that parts of the U.S. are on fire, his words, are on fire with the coronavirus, and that America has the worst outbreak in the world with 60,000 new cases, 60,000 new cases, and 1,000, averaging over 1,000 deaths a day. According to ESPN, UConn University has become the first team to cancel football season because of the coronavirus plague pandemic. If the university is canceling football, you might want to cancel some things, like sending your children out into school. This is breaking news. 66 NFL players saying they're not going to risk their wives' lives and their children's lives. They're not playing this season. They're going to lose millions of dollars. But they can't. They don't want to risk their lives or the lives of their family members with this coronavirus plague out there. According to the Daily Mail, more than 100 students have been sent home to quarantine for 14 days after six students and a staff member at a Mississippi school district tested positive for the coronavirus plague. According to Bakersfield News, I know he keeps that dark for a reason. Can you see it? According to Bakersfield News, after the Trump administration last month ordered hospitals to stop sending data to the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention and instead send it to a private data firm under contract with the Department of Health and Human Services, a lack of public data is hampering the fight against the coronavirus plague. According to the Hill publication, White House Coronavirus Task Force Coordinator Deborah Birx is warning of an uptick in coronavirus cases in 9 U.S. cities as well as California's Central Valley. According to the New York Post, Dr. Fauci is already worried about the next coronavirus plague pandemic wave. He noted that while the current plague pandemic continues to pose a historic threat, he's also concerned that we're going to have outbreaks after this outbreak. According to Deadline, Los Angeles Mayor Eric Garcetti has stated that the city will shut off water and power at homes that throw large parties. And when they start cutting off your water and power, it's getting serious, people. According to Bloomberg, the U.S. is projected to see the worst reversal of fortune this year in a ranking of global economic misery, underscoring just how much havoc the plague pandemic has wrought in America. And America fell 25 spots from the number 50 spot to number 25 on Bloomberg's Misery Index, which tallies inflation and unemployment outlooks for 60 economies, according 60 economies. That's the end of that story. According to France 24, Australia's second largest city of Melbourne entered the country's toughest lockdown yet on Thursday. A second lockdown for the state capital of Victoria began in early July, but additional regulations came into force overnight, requiring hundreds of thousands more people to stay at home. According to the New York Times, the virus is no longer principally an urban problem, a big city problem. It is present throughout every state, and these infected often don't know it. And those infected often don't know it, leading to what top public official health officials call inherent community spread. According to Johns Hopkins University, who's been tasked with keeping up with all of this coronavirus business, citing a concerning resurgence. This is a major university. A concerning resurgence in coronavirus infections and related public health trends both in Baltimore and across the nation, Johns Hopkins University announced today, on Friday, that it now plans for all undergraduate instruction, labs, and co-curricular activities to be held online for the fall, the entire fall semester. So if a major university like that, dear friends, is making that kind of decision, you better make that kind of decision for your little ones, your little children. According to Reuters, a quarantine checkpoint has opened at New York City's Penn Station to enforce travel rules. According to Fox News, with the daily number of coronavirus cases in the United States still hovering at about 50,000 and American deaths from the disease approaching, well, it's now over 160,000, cities across the country are taking increasingly severe measures to force the curve of the outbreak downward, including power shutoffs, fines, and more. According to Yahoo News, after first being spared, rural California is now being ravaged by the coronavirus plague. According to France 24, health officials fighting the coronavirus pandemic say they have a new problem, carefree young people who are ignoring social distancing rules and letting loose around the world, fueling a surge in infections. According to Colorado Public Radio, houses of worship have become a growing concern for Colorado health departments as the number of coronavirus outbreaks within church communities and at religious events has climbed. In the last 2 weeks, there have been at least 4 coronavirus outbreaks at churches, according to state and county health departments. 2 of those outbreaks occurred in Garfield County at the Iglesia de Dios Pentecostal in Parachute, with at least 8 lab confirmed cases, and the Pan Davida Church in Rifle with at least 14 lab confirmed cases. All cases are reported, or rather all cases were reported among church attendees. According to News Channel 4, 14 members of the Hendricks Avenue Baptist Church in Jacksonville, Florida. Tested positive for the coronavirus plague. According to KXXV, a church in Corpus Cove, Texas, says they have about 20 people within their congregation with the coronavirus plague, with symptoms and 5 positive cases. According to NBC News, a county health department in North Carolina has issued an alert after learning that about 10 people infected with the coronavirus were among the mourners at a funeral at Emmaus Baptist Church in Pittsburgh. Ladies and gentlemen, right now, God will not get mad at you if you worship at home. I would strongly advise you to do that, and nobody can stop you. Because you don't want anybody in your family getting this, and you don't want to get it from anybody in your family or anybody in your church. So therefore, dear friends, let's look at another big problem that I've been warning you about for over 100 days. What the government is doing right now, the White House, the House of Representatives, and the Senate, at a stalemate on getting you any kind of stimulus money or keeping your house out of foreclosure, keeping your apartment out of an eviction process. Whatever they are going to do, if they're going to do anything else, they should have done it already. But I knew they were going to do this. This is why I told you to do not trust in the GUV or the GOV, the government, the big GOV. You need to trust in the big GOD, God, and pray to him and get your leadership and direction from him. And I've told you this repeatedly over the past 100 plus days, but many of you did not listen, and now you're in a situation where you're receiving an eviction notice with back rent due. Don't get mad. Get E-Trade. Don't get mad, because you must understand, for you to live there, they got to be paid so they can pay who's over them. They need the money. And if the government does not help you, you're going to have to pay that money, or you're going to be evicted, or you're going to be foreclosed upon. This is why I told you several months ago to go ahead on and move. I know you're attached to your house, and this may be your first house ever and so forth, I understand. But when things change, you have to change. Mature adults, when things change, they change. Now, with that said, here are some options for you, hopefully still. You can buy off-grid housing from farmflip.com. FarmFlip was created and is managed by former land brokers and features one of the largest sources of land listings, land buyers, and land professionals from across the nation. Second, you can buy a modular home or a mobile home. I know you have never thought about doing this, nor have I. I know you don't want to do it. But you can buy mobile homes from Palm Harbor Homes at palmharbor.com. Palm Harbor Homes is one of the nation's largest builders of manufactured homes and modular homes. They have a sale going on right now on where you can buy a 3-bedroom modular home for about $29,000. Sell your house while you can, get the equity out of it, and go ahead and buy you a modular home. If nothing else, temporarily, until things get back to a more stable situation. If that's what you want to do, and then you'll be in a better position anyway, because you won't have any debt. You can buy the next option is a mini house. You can buy a mini house from tinyhousefinder.net. Tiny House Finder is the dedicated real estate site for tiny houses, where you can find tiny houses for sale or rent. You can also find builders and lots to place your tiny house on. And they can lay a slab and build a foundation for it and everything. Many people are doing this. You can find motorhomes, RVs as they're called, recreational vehicles, and trailers at Motorhome Specialist, where the world shops. MHSRV.com. National RV is one of the most experienced, largest recreational vehicle manufacturers in the United States. Okay, that's four options for you. You need to move because they're playing games in Washington. I pray for the president. I pray for all of the government officials. I am not mad at anybody, but they play lying games in Washington. And one of the things they're doing, they're trying to scare you and push you out of the door to go work in the coronavirus fields. And I know they don't like it, but that's true. Dude, when you watch the news, you see how those people on the news, they're home. They won't even go to the studio. They are home at their house. When you watch the news, if you've been watching the news for the past 3 months, most of the anchors, even those you love, they're at the house, buddy. And they still living. There's a reason why they're at the house. Because they don't want to catch the coronavirus. They want to be able to live and tell you about it. As you know, so stay home. Don't go to work. Don't go to work anywhere right now. While this thing is raging, you're going to get sick. And there's nothing like being sick, people, especially with something like this. Because this messes with your mind and everything else. So I told you that I would help you with the home family life, home church life, and I'm straight to the point with the home family life. You listen to me, you got to fight for peace. You got to fight the devil, man, for peace. The devil does not like peace in your Christian home. And you got, as the head of the household, if you want peace and harmony and joy and love in your household, and you want to enjoy your family and be able to sit with your family and have peace and quiet. I was someplace the other day. I'm here to tell you, this child, this toddler, excuse me, Lord, devilish child, not a toddler, about 4 or 5, she did everything but cuss her mother because her mother would not give her something. All over the store, everybody heard her. And the mother had no control over the child at all. Are you kidding me? Now, if she's that way at the store, someplace out in public, she's a terror at the house. And I don't care who likes it. I hate to see that. And I hate to be around people who don't have control over their children. It make me want to take control over the situation. No, she needs to be quiet and obey her mother. Her mother said she didn't want her to have it, and she threw a fit. And that's how some of you grown folks are, because that's what your parents did with you. Let you have your way. And you throw a fit every time. You throw a temper tantrum every time you can't have your way. And that's why you're no good as a spouse, as a parent, or anything else, a worker, or anything else. Because you think the world owes you something. This world does not owe you anything. And like somebody said a long time ago, when you die off of this world is going to keep on spinning. Not going to miss a beat. Not a beat. So it's not about you. So home family, I don't have time to deal with all of that today. Home church, home family devotion, I've dealt with that earlier. Home school, and this is what I'm dealing with right now, because you people who are so eager to release your children out into the coronavirus plague, you ought to be ashamed of yourselves. When you hear about people trying to open the school up and they got to stop because somebody has the coronavirus plague, don't put your child through that. So therefore, homeschool your children. And I told you that I will help you with the home business. I'm not going to deal with it today. I'm going to keep on dealing with the home school. You need to know what to do, how to do, and get it done as far as homeschooling. So go on out to Walmart if you can, if you're brave enough, and buy some homeschooling materials. Go ahead and buy your notebooks and your pens and pencils and your coloring paper, coloring books and construction paper, whatever you need to buy. Buy while you can, because everything is slow in coming out. They have some out there. And you homeschool your children. So I want to review the Basic Christian Education, BCE, Academy Review, from the homeschoolmom.com. You can get a whole lot of help from the homeschoolmom.com. Basic Christian Education, BCE Academy, conservative Christian in their perspective, outreaches to homeschooling families and church school ministries. For more than 34 years, they have served homeschooling families and church ministries nationally and internationally. They offer an accredited homeschool program through BCE Academy and sell curriculum to Christian schools and homeschoolers not in the academy. What is a good schedule for homeschooling? We're still dealing with that. This is part five. The co-op driven schedule. Some families belong to academic co-ops that meet on a regular schedule. We were not a part of this particular co-op down in San Antonio, but we loved going down there to San Antonio for the National Bible Bee, and they did a wonderful job, and in connection to the National Bible Bee. But they have a co-op down there where they kind of help one another, and different people teach different classes, and it's a big old family, and they welcomed us as well, but we were not a part of the co-op. So commonly once per week they meet, while some co-ops are self-contained with the kids doing enrichment learning at co-op with no expected follow-up. Other co-ops have the core academic subjects. Students are expected to do assignments at home and study for tests given by co-op teachers. Parents will arrange their weekly schedules at home to help their children prepare for the coming classes at co-op. In my homeschooling life, the homeschooling mom, I believe this is, well, she's the one who's saying this. She said, I've been involved in Monday co-ops, Wednesday co-ops, and Thursday co-ops, and some of which had homework expectations and some of which did not. Driven by the type of learning situation my children wanted. That is, if the co-op has the core academic classes a parent or child wants covered, then other academic interests, are you okay there? Then other academic interests that are independent of the co-op are also work in around co-op homework spread throughout the other days of the week. If you want to have somebody to help you, and it's like a big old family kind of a connection thing, and you pool resources and degrees and everything together, go out on what they call field trips together and so forth. I see the advantage of that for those who are more gregarious and like to be involved with other people. If you're a more introverted person, you'd be better off just teaching your children at home yourself. But for your children, it would be nice to know the other children who are being homeschooled in their grade level, so they get the flavor of actually being in school at least once or twice a week. Okay? So, let's pray. Holy Father God, we pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. We pray that you'll help husbands and wives and parents to do your will, not theirs. And Lord, help husbands to make solid, strong decisions about housing so that the family can be taken care of through the storm. And Lord, we pray that the parents would make strong biblical decisions about their children and keeping them home throughout the fall and teaching them themselves or having them to be taught online. Lord, lead, guide, and direct your people in the way that you want them to go. Speak to their hearts even now. In Jesus Christ's name we pray, and for his sake. Save those who are lost. Revive those who are saved. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. Now, ladies and gentlemen, if you're with us today and you do not know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, allow me to show you how you can place your faith and trust in him for your soul's salvation from sin and from the power of sin and from the punishment of sin. First, please understand that you are a sinner and that you have broken God's laws. We all have. The Holy Bible says in Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Please understand with me that because of your sins, you deserve eternal punishment in hell, and so do I. Romans 6:23 says, the wages of sin is death. This includes both the physical death and spiritual death in that awful place called hell. Your body will go to a grave. Your soul will go to hell if you reject Jesus Christ and you don't trust him as your Savior. So hell is bad news. Sin is bad news. But I have some good news for you. Found in John 3:16, straight from the mouth of Jesus Christ. For he said, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. The phrase, "For God so loved the world," means that if you are in this world, God loves you. No matter what you have done, God loves you. It is truly, I agree, an amazing love. The next phrase, that he gave his only begotten Son, refers to Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God who took away the sins of the world. He is God's Son who suffered, bled, and died on the cross for your sins and for mine. And he was buried and rose on the third day. Do you know him as your Savior? Have you believed in him? Our next phrase is that whosoever believeth in him. The word whosoever means anybody at any time. Red, yellow, black, or white, we're all precious in God's sight. The phrase believeth in him means to trust in him, to depend upon him, to rely on him, or to have faith in him for your soul's salvation. Firmly have faith in Jesus. Firmly believe in him. Trust in him. And he will save you. Our next phrase, should not perish, refers to eternal punishment in that awful place called hell. And lastly, the phrase, but have everlasting life. That means you can be saved by the grace of God and go to heaven with God and with Jesus and with the angels and with the saints. Dear friends, the Holy Bible says in Romans 10:9-13, that if you shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, you shalt be saved. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Now, dear friend, if you are willing to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ for your soul's salvation, please pray with me this simple prayer called the Sinner's Prayer, and mean it from your heart. Holy Father God, please have mercy and grace upon me, a sinner. Please forgive me of all of my sins, for I admit that I have lied before. I have broken your Ten Commandments, as I am naming five of the Ten Commandments that I have broken. I have stolen things before. I have coveted after people and things before. I've lusted in my heart after people and things before. I've dishonored and disrespected and disobeyed my parents. And I have disrespected and dishonored you, Holy Father God, by taking your name in vain. For Jesus Christ's sake, please forgive me of all of my sins, my failures and my faults. I understand that because of my sins, I deserve to go to hell. Please have mercy and grace upon my soul. And for Jesus Christ's sake, please forgive me of all of my sins. My faults and my failures. As I now believe with all of my heart in your Holy Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, who suffered, bled, and died on the cross for my sins, was buried and rose on the third day, Lord Jesus Christ. Fill me with your Holy Spirit and help me to repent of my sins past and present. Help me to turn from my evil life and to follow you in the new life, Lord Jesus. For it is in your name I do pray. Amen. Dear friend of mine, if you believed in your heart in the Lord Jesus Christ, that he suffered, bled, and died on the cross for your sins, he paid your sin debt as the sacrificial Lamb of God, who took away the sins of the world, who suffered, bled, and died on the cross, was buried and rose on the third day. Allow me to say to you, congratulations on doing the most important thing in life, and that is trusting Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. For more information to help you grow in your newfound faith in Christ, please go to GospelLightSociety.com and read my pamphlet titled, What to Do After You Enter Through the Door. Jesus Christ said in John 10:9, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved and shall go in and out and find pasture. And dear friend, if you believed in the Lord Jesus Christ today as your Lord and Savior, please email me at dw3@gospellightsociety.com and let us know. We have some free material that we want to send you to help you grow in the faith and to be the Christian that God wants you to be. If you have a prayer request, please email that to us as well, and we will pray for you until you tell us to stop. Until next time, dear friend, God loves you, we love you, and may God bless you real good, is my prayer.